fact that she is back and better than ever, man. But from one amazing conversation to another amazing conversation, we are speaking all things International Gynecological Health Day, especially as September is recognized as Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, with, of course, friend to the show, but most importantly, specialist surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussein. Hi, Doc. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Thank you for having me on your show today.
It is always such a pleasure having you right here on Everyday People. Let me lay out the red carpet so people understand exactly what we're talking about. Now, of course, according to the Cancer Association of South Africa, one in every 42 women has a lifetime risk of being diagnosed with cervical cancer, as cervical cancer is the second most prevalent cancer amongst women after breast cancer. Now, close to 80% of cervical cancers are caused by HPV, with the incidence rate of cervical cancer in South Africa being between 22.8 and 27 per 100,000 women, as compared to the global average of 15.8. Now, with today being International Gynecological Health Day and September being recognized as Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, we are joined by, of course, specialist surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussein. Now, of course, Doc, cervical cancer is described as a preventable cancer, but it's still the most common cancer in South Africa. So I want to know, what are some of the key reasons for this contradiction, and what conversations are we not having regarding the need for better gynecological health?
I think one of the big things that we are not acknowledging is the fact that our children are sexually active. And I think that's the elephant in the room. Once we get over the fact that children are experimenting and that they are sexually active at younger ages, we are more inclined to put into place preventative measures and more inclined to have discussions with our children, boys and girls, obviously, about the risks that are associated with being sexually active. And once we can start having those conversations with our kids regarding the risks that are associated with them, then they themselves can take responsibility, whether with the parental supervision or without, because a lot of the health care is actually accessible to children without parental. They don't have to go with the parents to the to the clinics, etc. And then they would be more inclined to go and seek help, because they know that these things are possible, and that it's not something that they have to hide away from or be in the dark about.
Now, I love the fact that you mentioned conversation, especially when it comes to, you know, young girls being sexually active, because I think we've also had like a conversation with regards to HPV. So please just explain the relationship between the HPV infection and cervical cancer, and how effective is the HPV vaccine in reducing that risk of cervical cancer?
Essentially, what happens is that let's start with the vaccine. I think the HPV vaccine is actually one of the, one of the greatest advances of our generation, because that is actually one of the things that is making or will make cervical cancer, or reduce the rates of cervical cancer quite dramatically, if they are given, if the youth or the people are taking the vaccine at the correct age. So the HPV itself, the organism, stimulates a reaction within the cervix that actually eventually results in an amount of changes within the cervical cells that eventually leads to one developing precancerous cells or precancerous changes, and then eventually cervical cancer. The idea for us is actually to identify, first of all, prevent the HPV vaccine, that HPV completely, and that is where the vaccine comes in. Second of all, if we haven't gotten in over there where we have prevented the HPV virus, then the next step is to screen for it, and then the step after that is that if you screen for it and you know that a patient may be carrying the virus, to actually screen for the cancer or the precursor cancer cells, to prevent one from actually developing what one would describe as full-blown cervix cancer. So there are multiple steps that can actually happen in between one contracting HPV and one actually developing cervical cancer. There are multiple steps that one can use to actually prevent getting cervix cancer, and that is why we are so on this about screening and the vaccination and the awareness of this outing, because it's actually super preventable on so many levels.
Mm. Listen, if you've just tuned in, we are speaking to, of course, specialist surgeon as well as friend to the show, Dr. Fatima Hussein. We are speaking about cervical cancer, the importance of going for those tests, and most importantly, making sure that you understand your gynecological health, especially as we know that these are things that are preventable, especially with cervical cancer being described as a preventable cancer. But we're not leaving you out of this conversation. So please, if you have any questions, hit us up on our WhatsApp line on 061-862-1065, or you can call us on our studio line on 021-448-1352. Now, of course, Doc, even with the reduced risk that comes with the vaccine, we have noted, or rather you've also noted, that a lot of women don't undergo regular cervical cancer screenings. So I just want to know, how important are these screenings, and is there a difference between a pap smear and an HPV test?
So yes, the HPV test actually tests for the high risk types of HPV, mm-hmm. and the pap smear actually looks at the cells at the cervix to evaluate them for precancerous changes or precancerous or cancerous changes. So there is a fundamental difference between the two tests. And I think going for your pap smear is, people, I agree with your first statement, people are too afraid to go for their test, or some people go for their test, and then they don't go ever again because they've been for it once and it was negative. The fact is that you actually have to go regularly for it, and regularly doesn't mean every month or every 2 months, it's every 3 years. So it's not as frequent as one might think you need to go for it. And I think it's a small ask if you want to look after your health. Mm. The other thing is that it's something that if you go regularly, the idea is to pick up the precancerous lesions, so you don't need excessive surgery, excessive radiation, all the heavy things that come with a diagnosis of cancer. Those can all be prevented if one diagnoses the lesions in the precancerous phase. Mm-hmm. It can be managed in the pre while the patient is actually awake. It doesn't even require, in many cases, it can also even require general anesthetic. Mm-hmm. So from going from a scenario where it is relatively easily managed to waiting and not going for your screening, and then ending up with a scenario which it is difficult to treat and doesn't have an exceptionally good prognosis in the late stages, I think the benefits outweighs the risk of having cervical cancer screening, either in the form of a pap smear or HPV test.
Mm. And of course, Doc, what role then does family history also play in the risk of developing cervical cancer, especially as you mentioned that cervical cancer often goes unnoticed until it's in those most advanced stages? So what role does family history play?
So family history is not such a huge role as far as cervical cancer is concerned. Mm. As you well mentioned, it's related to human papillomavirus, and it's more common in people who are sexually active and who have a depressed immune system. However, there are a few cases where there is familial cervical cancer. And in that scenario, I think it's less than 5% of cervical cancer is actually familial. So more important for patients who are sexually active to have cervical cancer screening. And the family history of one family member that has cervical cancer does not necessarily mean that you are going to get it or that you are not going to get it if somebody else in your family didn't get it. So it's all about your sexual activity, sexual partners, and your own immune system, I think, to the greater extent, rather than family history.
Listen, if you've just tuned in, we are speaking to, of course, specialist surgeon, Dr. Fatima Hussein, and we are speaking about the importance of taking care of yourself and, most importantly, raising awareness on cervical cancer, which is known as a preventable cancer. But it's important for us to open up these conversations. So if you have anything, please do send in those WhatsApps on our WhatsApp line on 061-862-1065. Now, of course, Doc, with today being International Gynecological Health Day, what conversations do you hope we open ourselves up to in order to reprioritize our gynecological health and take better care of ourselves beyond just Cervical Cancer Awareness Month?
I think, first of all, we must identify what we want. I mean, we all ultimately don't want cancer. We don't want to deal with cancer in the end. So I think we must just be upfront with ourselves. It's a question of we need to acknowledge the responsibilities to our own bodies and say, are we sexually active? Yes or no. Is our kid sexually active? Yes or no. Is there a possibility of our children being sexually active? Yes or no. If you are unsure about any of those questions, or your answer is yes to any of those questions, then you actually should be getting cervical cancer screening. And it shouldn't be something that you should be afraid of. It should be something that, okay, if I go every three years for my cervical cancer screening, most likely that the doctor is going to pick up something in the very early stages. Or in the pre-cancerous stages, and now most likely won't need anything further. It will be preventative rather than something that I will have to deal with and struggle with, and that will come as an impact, have a significant impact on my quality or quantity of life. So these are we have to see the benefit and realize that it significantly outweighs the risk or any misinformation that we may have about cervical cancer screening.
Now, of course, for women who are still anxious or unsure about undergoing cervical screenings, how would you then reassure them about the process and their need to be more aware of their cervical health?
First of all, they're very scared or very nervous or shy to have the screening, because it's about a doctor looking into their nether regions. And one thing I can tell them is that the doctors that are doing it, or the nurses that are doing the pap smear, they're not doing it to be judgmental or to be in any way provocative. They're doing it because they care and they want to help you prevent the cancer. So anyone else's opinion, it also really doesn't matter. It's about you also taking care of your own health and the healthcare provider providing the service. It's not painful. It is a little uncomfortable. It's not painful at all. And yes, they are going to look at your nerve regions. That's what you do want them to take a look at. And ultimately, it's quick. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and it's done for the next 3 years.
Sure. Just like that. And most importantly, I know a lot of us are going to be feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but it's worth it when we think about the benefits that outweigh that little bit of uncomfortability. But of course, where do we find you should we require any more information?
You can definitely contact us at our practice, which is at Upper Smith Hussein & Associates. We do provide cervical cancer screening in the form of a pap smear. But it's also available at your local clinic, and many GPs also provide the service.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fatima. We always appreciate you for lending your hand and, most importantly, opening up conversations that we need when it comes to our health and reprioritizing our physical health. Thank you so much. And like we always say, it's not the last, so I cannot wait for the next conversation.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. That is, of course, friend to the show, but also specialist surgeon, Dr. Fatima Hussein, who was speaking to us about International Gynecological Health Day. And most importantly, speaking to us about the importance of taking care of our cervical health, as September is recognized as Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. It is a preventable cancer, but you need to make sure that you take care of yourself, because without you, we wouldn't have each other. Them.